Again, we thank each one very much for staying for the meeting tonight, and it's been a privilege to be at the conference at this time. If you have a Bible, let's read a few verses at the close of the meeting tonight. The purpose of this meeting, as you well know, is to tell you the good news, to tell you how you can be saved, to tell you how you can have your sins forgiven. It's not something that's an option. It's not something that's an accessory. It's something that's a necessity. So let's read in the book of Job, towards the middle of your Bible in the Old Testament, 25 and verse 4. The fourth verse on the 25th chapter of the book of Job, please. And remember, as you're turning in your Bible and we're reading from the Bible, this is how God speaks to you. He speaks to us from the Word of God. There may be an accident and maybe you can think about eternity. There may be a dream and it may make you ponder things. But God mostly speaks through the Word of God. And he wants to speak through the Word of God tonight to bring you to a place in your life, not only I need to be saved, but that you might be saved. Wonderful question. Verse 4, chapter 25 of the book of Job. How then can man, how can you and I be justified with God? How can he be clean that is born of a woman? Acts, please. Chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 10, just the top part of the verse. Acts 4 and 10, be it known unto you all. Verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Chapter 13 and verse 38. The 38th verse, the 13th chapter, still in the book of Acts. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached the forgiveness of sins. Notice, and by him all that believe are justified from all things which ye could not be by the law of Moses. From all things ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Final reading in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. The first verse, the 15th chapter, the book of 1 Timothy, please. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, I know the Lord will bless what we've heard already, and I know he blesses the good reading of the Word of God, and I want to emphasize tonight, God wants to come along in your life, and he wants to awaken you about a divine truth found in the Word of God. You must be saved. You know, the Word of God is a unique, interesting book. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Word of God is infallible. The Word of God tells us what's right, and the Word of God tells us what's wrong. It's inspired. It's unique in its continuity. It was written approximately 1,600 years ago, and uniquely, wonderfully, excitingly contained in this Holy Bible, Book Divine, precious treasure, yours and mine, are 322 messianic prophecies. My grandson said to me, he says, Grandpa, I'm having a hard time at work. I says, well, what's the matter? Is it the job? No. He says, I'm having a hard time telling a couple of my workmates to prove the Bible's true. I says, that's an easy one. Well, he says, if it's so easy, you better give me some hints. There are 322 messianic prophecies in the Old Testament, speaking of the Messiah, speaking of the cross, speaking of the suffering of the Lord Jesus on the cross. And uniquely and excitingly, from about 500 years before Calvary to 1,100 years before Calvary, and every one of the prophecies came back with 100% accuracy. That gives me tremendous confidence. This is the Word of God. And I can rest and you can rest your eternal future and found what's in the Word of God. The Word of God is prophetic. 40 authors written on 3 different continents. Different times, different places. The Word of God has had oftentimes thousands of controversial subjects, but it all speaks united with one voice. I am not interested here to hear what you think, And I am not interested in telling you tonight what I think. I want to tell you in the fear of God what the Word of God says. This Holy Bible is unique in its circulation. It's been published more than any book that has ever been written. It's been translated into more languages than any other book that has been written. It survived time. It survived countless criticism. It survived persecution. And it's unique in its honesty. It tells us about our sin. It tells us about our failures. And it tells us uniquely, clearly, plainly, boldly how we can get right with God alone through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's unique in its influence more than any other book. And so I'm excited tonight, thrilled tonight, to have the privilege tonight to open the unerring, unalterable Word of God to, in some little measure, attempt to tell you the good tidings of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I were to begin in the book of Romans and I come to the third chapter, I would find some verses that maybe aren't popular. I would find some verses that maybe people don't want to hear. And yet there are verses that need to be addressed, and it shows man's condition. I visited a fellow the other day up in northern Saskatchewan. He comes down south to Arizona, and so I've gotten to know him a little bit. He's lost a lot of weight. He's going to be in the hospital for treatment for 2 months. He's got cancer. And what burdens my heart about it? He's neglected it. And neglected it. And neglected it. And the thrilling verse in the Word of God, the stirring verse is, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Salvation is something to be taken to heart now. Salvation is something to be considered today, not tomorrow. I often like to remind ourselves that the devil's word is tomorrow and God's word is today. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. And so as I thumb in the unerring Word of God in the book of Romans, I find there is none righteous, no, not one. I'm not going to give you a pat on the back tonight and tell you to do the best you can. I'm not going to give you a pat on the back and say, well, thankful I'm not, you're not the way the other man is in the pen, the murderer, however you want to develop it. But I want to tell you God's estimation, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not interested in giving a political correct message. I'm hoping to give in the fear of God a biblically correct message tonight. Your sins will keep you out of heaven. Your sins must be forgiven and can only be forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ. And before anyone ever gets saved, there's the work of the gracious Holy Spirit in their life to bring them to a point in my life, I'm not right with God. My sins are my problem. And if I die tonight, I won't make heaven, but I'll be in the awful place found in the Word of God. I want to ask you tonight a simple little question. Won't ask you any at the door. You can ask if you want. Won't ask you to raise your hand. Can you remember the earth-shattering moment in your life when you found out you were a sinner, not right with God? Can you remember that moment in your life? Where you were isn't as important, but you'll remember it. When you were awakened by the Word of God, maybe it was by reading it. Maybe it was by a gospel paper. Maybe it was by a clear message on the radio. Maybe it was a preacher standing in an audience. Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher. When you were awakened, I am not right with God, and I've got a very serious problem. I could take you to the place, 55 Greenvale Avenue, Yonkers, New York. And the Word of God was open. And I've often told the story, he had a shiny head and about as round as I am. And as the Word of God was open, I found out there I'm a sinner. And my sins are taking me to hell. And I found out I'm not right with God. And it was the beginning of God working in a young lad's life to bring him to know whom to know is life eternal. It's wonderful to tell of the love of God. Wonderful to tell of the grace of God. Wonderful to tell of the work and the worth of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And it'll never do you any good until you find out your condition. God says we're sinners. He says we're unclean. He says the wages of sin is death. want you to go over the ground. Hope that you'll get located tonight. Can you remember when you have been awakened by God? I am lost. I am perishing. My sins are my problem. Because until that is found out, you're far, far, far from the kingdom. My mind goes to a dear sister in Saskatchewan. Gospel meetings like this. And she said, can you come over to the house and talk to me? Came over with my preaching partner. Husband was taking care of the children upstairs. And she says, I've got a very serious problem. I'm not saved. And I've been living a lie for years. I read a few verses with her. My preaching partner, Brandon Dahl, read a few verses with her. She made a few comments. We prayed. And we left. The next night, she says, can you come over to the house tonight and talk again? Well, if you want, we will. Downstairs in the basement, private, us two, husband upstairs. She says, I got saved last night. I says, how could that take place? You hardly understood anything when we left. She says, I knew I was lost. And she says, I knew I'd been living a lie. And I stayed up searching the Word of God and praying till over 3 a.m. and I found out a wondrous truth that Christ died for my sins and I'm free. That's what salvation's about. It's not an intellectual process. You believe this and you believe that and all of a sudden you're saved. It takes God to reveal to the soul, to illuminate the soul, what Christ has done on the cross of Calvary. You cannot save yourself. In lifeguard training, they taught us, you get close to the one that's struggling, but you don't make the grab to pull them in till they give up. And until a person gets to the point spiritually, I'm lost and I'm perishing, and there's nothing I can do to save my soul, you will never have God's so great salvation. And so as I thumb in the Word of God, I find that the Spirit of God is penned a couple of times in the book of Acts, be it known. It's something that God wants you to know. It's something that God doesn't want you to miss. It's something that He wants you to rivet down in your mind, in your heart, in your soul. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren. And as I thumb into chapter 4, excitingly as I weave in the Word of God, you see, the Word of God will speak to us. He says, neither is there salvation in any other. I want to ask you tonight, what are you trusting in that you will be in heaven at the end of life's journey? How can a man be justified with God? If you are resting in what isn't found in the Word of God, you've got a very, very serious problem. I found out in 1959, I've got a very serious problem. The christening at 3 days of age, I don't even remember. And joining the church in the 5th grade by baptism and a man called the Reverend, I found out that doesn't save. I had a church membership. And the most I knew was to be able to say, Our Father who art in heaven, and Psalm 23. I was totally clueless to what the Word of God said. And when the book was opened, I found out I've got an exceedingly serious problem. And my problem is I'm not right with God. My problem is I'm not saved. I don't even know how to be saved. And I need to be born again. And I haven't even got a clue what it means. How could I be born again? And God began to work. And God began to speak by the gracious Holy Spirit. And it was like a little voice. You couldn't see it. You couldn't touch it. I never knew anything about the terms of the conviction of the Holy Spirit preachers use, but I was troubled in 1959 that summer. I was a miserable lad on the inside and kept it hid on the outside. Mom and Dad didn't know anything about it. And that voice was whispering, John, you need to be saved. Your sins are your problem. If you die racing your bike down the mountain hills here, you're going to be in hell. It wasn't a dream. It was a voice that was constant, repetitive, and I had come to the conclusion, I'm lost, and I'm perishing, and I'm heading to the awful place, and I haven't got a clue how I can get saved. You ever have that happen in your life? If God hasn't awoken you, you haven't got anything. If the Spirit of God hasn't worked and impressed upon you your sin and your depravity and the need, it's impossible that you're saved, because the Lord Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so as I weave in the unerring and ultimate Word of God, look at the clarity of it. God doesn't want you to miss it. This so great salvation is available to everyone because of what the Lord Jesus Christ paid on the cross of Calvary. And it's clear, it's simple, it's plain. You don't even have to have a grammar school education to understand the words, because God wants to make it available to all to understand. Neither is there salvation in any other. None other name under heaven given among men whereby we... Did you know you must be saved? Must be saved? Every word in the Word of God is of particular importance. It doesn't say should be saved. Doesn't say might be good to be saved. You must be saved tonight because of the problem of your sin. You must be saved tonight because you're not right with an all-righteous God. And so the Lord comes along graciously, kindly, with this wonderful Holy Bible Book Divine. In love and kindness and tenderness, He tells us about our need. He tells us about our condition. And wonderfully, He tells us about the one who died on the cross so that you and I can have our sins forgiven. I love these little verses in chapter 13 of the book of Acts. They're clear, they're concise, they're not complicated to understand. And the Lord says, be it known unto you. It's something that the gracious God, the loving God, full of tender mercies and compassion, wants to bring across your ears, wants to bring across to the soul of a lost, perishing sinner. Be it known unto you, men and brethren. Be it known unto you, dear ones in the audience tonight. Through this man, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, is preached, herald forth, proclaim the forgiveness of sins. If there's a sinner in this meeting tonight that longs to be saved and longs to have sins forgiven, it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember in John chapter 3, the Lord Jesus, He said, I must needs go. He went there. Nicodemus came to Him at night. And He found out He must be born again. Go over to John chapter 4. The Lord Jesus says, I must needs go through Samaria. A weary, broken-hearted woman down by a well. And He says, I can give you living water. She got excited. I want this living water. She didn't understand what He was talking about. And before she could ever have the living water, before she could ever know Him as the Messiah, the one that told her all things He ever did, He came along tenderly, graciously, and it touched a sore spot in her life and pointed out her sin that she might come to know the Savior. I come into Acts chapter 8, and there's a woman caught in adultery. Where are thine accusers? There are none. Go and sin no more. John chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, there's a man riding in a chariot, seeking, searching, wondering what he's reading, not understanding what he's reading. And Philip's sent there. And he's got a tremendous question. Do you understand what you're reading? Haven't got a clue. Come on up in the chariot. And he preached unto him Jesus. I don't know if you understand the consequences tonight. That if you die without Christ, you'll never be in heaven. I don't know if you understand fully salvation. What I mean by that is, you can't get saved anytime you want. It takes the Spirit of God to work. And people say, well, it just says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou'll be saved. Yeah, that's true. But it takes God to reveal what Christ has done to the soul. It's not mental gymnastics. It's not historical knowledge. It's not biblical knowledge that saves. But God uses what the Word of God tells us to awaken us by His gracious Holy Spirit. And He brings us to a point, how can I be saved? Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that went to the cross, the one that shed His precious blood, the one that laid down His life, the just for you and I, the unjust, the holy, spotless one, through Him, you and I can have forgiveness of sins. We used to sing a little chorus where I was saved. Why? Tell me, why was he there? Jesus, the helper, the healer, the friend. Why? Tell me, why was he there? You know, I found out in 59, he was there on the cross for my sins. I found out he paid for my sins. I want to emphasize tonight there's the reality of salvation. I want to emphasize tonight that there's the necessity of salvation. And I'm excited in the closing minutes of the meeting tonight to tell you of the availability of salvation. It's not through me or you. It's not through mom or dad. It's not through a preacher or an elder or a Sunday school teacher or anyone else. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, it's through what he did on the cross. The cross draws sinners to a Savior. And the cross demonstrates God's love. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But God commended, but God demonstrated, but God showed his love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If you want to get saved, you need to get to the foot of the cross. That's not a trip to the Holy Land or Gordon's Calvary. But it's by faith to find out my sins were paid for by him. And because of what he did, I go free. By him, all that believe, all that trust, all that take God at his word about the Lord Jesus Christ are justified from all things. You know, when you get saved, you have eternal life. When you get saved, all your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future in the journey of life. And the focal point of salvation is not what I've done. It's all what he has done. And when you stop looking within and trying to do something yourself, and you're willing to take God at his word, not only about your sin, but about what he did for sinners on the cross, you can have him as your own personal Savior. Mr. Moody was asked the question one time, and to the younger ones, I wasn't here at that age. Some might think so. The lady said to Mr. Moody, I've been trying to be saved for 2 years, and I can't seem to get it. He instantaneously fired back or answered back, I know your problem. She says, how could you know my problem? I've hardly begun to talk to you. He says, you told me. He says, you're trying. And he says, as long as you're trying and not trusting, you will never get saved. Salvation isn't trying. Salvation isn't believing harder and harder and trying to figure it out. Salvation is taking God at his word. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I found out that I qualified. I'd been awakened that I was a sinner. I'd been awakened that what I had and the religion I had and the rites and rituals I was brought up under or the christening or whatever it was or the baptism wasn't going to save my soul. I had an empty, Christless religion. And the man stood up there and opened the Word of God, but he didn't tell about the Savior. You know, you could open the Word of God many times about many different places and never tell of him whom to know a life eternal. The most important issue to cross your life or anyone's life, are you right with God? How can a man be justified with God? How can he that's born of a woman, a sinful woman, how can he have his sins forgiven? Oh, the Word of God's not complicated. The Word of God's not cloudy or difficult to understand. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is proclaimed the forgiveness of sins. The Lord Jesus on the cross bore our sins in his own body on the tree, shed his own precious blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. He cried, it is finished. They came to a tomb, and the stone was rolled away. And if Christ be not raised, our faith is in vain. There's a living, glorified Savior. A work that's all been finished. It's not you do a little, and he's done a little. It's completely what he has done. And I commend to you tonight the lovely Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross at Calvary, that you might have your sins forgiven. This is a faithful saying, something you can rely on, something you can rest your soul's eternal future in, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. If there's a lost, perishing sinner in this meeting tonight, there's a Savior that loves you. And I could thumb over into Matthew's Gospel, and I find an exciting little verse. Come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden, I will give you rest. Rest is found through the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace and pardon is found through what he did on the cross at Calvary. And I emphasize at the close of the meeting tonight, God loves you. He wants to bless you. And the Lord Jesus on the cross paid all that you need. Might you come to him? Put aside what you think and take God at his word and rejoice, it is well. It is well with my soul. Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank thee for the clarity of the word of God, and we thank thee that thou hast been pleased to allow folks to come and hear the unsearchable riches of Christ. We ask, Lord, that thy gracious Holy Spirit will awaken lost sinners tonight and open their eyes to the lovely man of Calvary. We thank thee that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we rejoice that a man or a woman is justified by faith and not by works. And so we thank thee for the work and worth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the cry that is finished. And we thank thee that he is seated at thy right hand, one mediator between God and men. And pray that thou might work for thy honor and glory in the conviction of sin and the conversion of a soul tonight. Part us with thy rich blessing. Remember those that have left already in traveling. Preserve as we travel to our lodging places tonight. And we pray that thy gracious Holy Spirit might speak and work in the night watches for thy honor and glory. We pray none of the audience will ever be in the awful place. We pray, Lord, none will ever put it off to a more convenient season, that none will ever neglect God's so great salvation. We thank thee it's so great that words cannot express it. And we thank thee that it's real, and it's lasting, and it's available. Draw near and bless the audience, we pray, in the peerless name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.